Huh? Is your Bible read Day of Christ today?
I wrote a Bible that has four translations.
Hallelujah. We were talking about this last week. We're going to hit on that a little bit more here today. Now, that was our context last week, the Day of Christ. And how now, regardless of which one is right here, if four manuscripts out of 4,000 are right, and the other 3,996 are all wrong, you still have to admit the Bible makes a distinction between the two days, the Day of Christ and the Day of the Lord. Now, that was our context last week, how the Bible makes it fairly clear the Day of Christ is not the same day. Now, it could be the same day, but it's a different event. I don't know. But when Paul talks about the Day of Christ, it's different than the Day of the Lord. Now, this verse here, verse 2, causes a lot of commotion in the pre-tribulation rapture camp. Because it makes them look bad. Because it implies that the rapture can't happen until the man of sin, the Antichrist, is revealed. Let me read this note to you. This comes from someone whose name was Scofield. Have you ever heard of Scofield before? The famous Scofield Bible. It's the number one selling Bible ever in the history of time. Now, this was what Mr. Scofield wrote before the editors took and cut this out. This is what he put in his notes for what we just talked about. Quote, "The theme of 2 Thessalonians is unfortunately obscured by a mistranslation in the King James Version of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2, where it says the day of Christ is at hand. This should be the day of the Lord is at hand." Now, you can call it what you want. My wife always gets mad at me if I call someone a liar. So let's just say that statement is not true. Do with that as you will. That's why the editors removed it, and it's not in all the other versions. That's not a mistranslation. They had the word Christos right in front of them. Christos means Christ. The word Kyrios means Lord. And Scofield knew that, but that went against his beliefs. There are strong teachers of the rapture is going to happen prior to any troubles going to happen. So you got to make this verse look like something other than it does. Now, if what Scofield wrote is true, then leave it in all your editions, right? Why take it out if it's true? Why take it out if it's true? Leave it in. For that matter, Matthew 24, 29 also, the Lord says, immediately after the tribulation, the Lord will gather together his elect. So to help this text mean something else, a textual variant was brought to light because this changes the entire context of this passage. Now follow me here. Now I'm going to read, I'm going to change words. And look how this changes the context of this passage. I'm going to change it from Day of Christ to Day of the Lord. Watch how this changes. The Day of the Lord will not come unless the falling away comes first. You see, so-called brilliant men say the falling away. I've read in two Bibles by PhDs of men that I trust. They define falling away as a temporary loss of gravity for Christians only. Now I say to that, boulder dash. Let the Bible interpret the Bible. 1 Timothy 4:1, right? The Spirit expressly says, in the latter times, many will fall away from the faith. Leave the Bible to interpret the Bible. Matthew 24, 9 and 10. They will hand you over to tribulation and kill you. You will be hated by everyone on account of my name, and then many will fall away from the faith. Let the Bible interpret the Bible. Don't let denominations or beliefs interpret the Bible. This is why I said if you just study the Word of God, you'd never be a pre-tribulation rapture person. Now, it might be then, I don't know. Only God knows that. This I know. Few things have to happen first before that happens, right? That's what the Word says. That's what we've looked at. All right, last week we looked at those two things that had to happen first. The falling away, which is not a loss of gravity for Christians. The falling away is people turning away from the faith of Jesus Christ and becoming apostates. That's what the falling away is. Not a loss of gravity. Doesn't mean that. And the revelation of the man of sin. Now today, let's talk some more about this man of sin. We'll pick it up here again, verse 3, move on from there. Remember, we're looking at what has to happen first before the day of Christ. He's going to describe this some. Verse 3, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day, the day of Christ, will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Notice Paul calls the Antichrist the son of perdition. You know, it's funny. I've heard that name somewhere before. Haven't you? The Lord Jesus called someone that name once. You can read about it in John chapter 17, verse 12. Jesus says this. He says, when I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you have given to me, I have guarded. Not one of them is lost except for the son of perdition, so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Now, he answered, who is the son of perdition the Lord's talking about? Judas Iscariot. So, Paul says the man of sin is the son of perdition. Let me ask the question, is Judas Iscariot then the Antichrist? I don't know. I don't think so. That's too fantastic for me to get my mind around. This phrase, son of, is a Hebrew idiom. You know, kind of like us saying, by hook or by crook. Or how about this one from the Urban Dictionary? I'm a brother from another mother. You ever heard that one before? It's an idiom. That's in a English idiom, an American idiom. Well, son of something is a Hebrew idiom. Sons of Belial, sons of destruction. Here, Jesus calls him the son of perdition. Now, perdition means destruction, meaning Judas was destined for this place, hell. Again, John 17, when I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you have given to me, I've guarded. Not one of them is lost except the son of perdition. Then he says this, so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Try getting your head around that statement. That is, Judas Iscariot, the son of perdition, was lost so that the scriptures would be fulfilled. So could Judas be the Antichrist? Who would marvel at him? Revelation 13 says that all the world's going to marvel when they see him. No one knows what Judas looks like. I mean, he could be sitting here today. I don't know. Who would know that? You'd marvel if you saw Osama bin Laden today, or John F. Kennedy, or someone else with a mortal head wound, right? You wouldn't marvel if you saw, what's his face though? Judas. Maybe it's the same spirit, though. Like John the Baptist came in the spirit and power of Elijah. 1 John 4:3 says the spirit of the Antichrist is already in the world. So could it be the same person in spirit? Absolutely it could be. So you got to think outside the box with this Antichrist. Don't limit him to being a human being. There's more to this guy than meets the eye. The Bible says he comes up out of the bottomless pit. Okay, now verse 4. And his unholy ministry. It says, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or every object of worship, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. All right, five things. First off, says he opposes God. Second thing, he exalts himself above the name and person of God. Sounds like the devil, doesn't it? Isaiah 14, 13, God says this, of speaking of Lucifer, speaking of the devil. He says, "For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High." It's Isaiah 14, 14. The third thing is, he's worshipped. Some deliberately, as some people deliberately today worship him. Most, though, I'd say unwittingly. Most people would simply be aghast if they knew that they were worshiping Satan. What are some modern day examples of worshiping Satan unwittingly? Well, worship means to pay homage to something. Are there any industries or groups of people today that pay homage to but are controlled by Satan? It's probably a lot of them, right? Huh? I think, first off, Planned Parenthood is an evil organization. Now, I wrote this before what happened last night, so I didn't copy them when I wrote what I'm going to say to you. And that is, I've got to do everything I can to restrain myself not to do harm to this organization. And now you read on the news today, from last night, someone else couldn't restrain themselves. And they went and they did some harm there. It ain't right. See, I recognize who was behind the scenes pulling the strings of this group. Now, to offer unwavering, over-the-top adoration and support of Planned Parenthood is to worship at Satan's altar. Unwittingly, for many, if you knew who was behind the mask, you wouldn't do it. You, most people, would not worship a hissing demon, right? That's safe to say, right? Freedom from Religion Foundation, Madison, Wisconsin. To pay homage to them is to do their bidding. How do you do their bidding? They demand kick God out of school, remove the Ten Commandments, ban Bibles. All of these things pay homage to Satan, and they honor him. So don't say, "I'd never worship the devil unwittingly." That's the whole point. If it is unwittingly, is you don't know it. That's what it means to be deceived, right? You're doing something and you don't know that you're doing it. Okay, let me move on here. I was giving you this list of five things. He opposes God. He exalts himself above the name and person of God. Same as Isaiah chapter 14, that's what Satan does. Now remember, Satan is inside the sky. Remember, we looked at that a couple weeks ago. He's got seven heads and ten horns, the same as Satan does. Remember, it's the same person. He is worshipped. Number four, he sits in the rebuilt temple. Notice, by the way, the day of Christ can't happen until there's a rebuilt temple. All right, perhaps you say, "I need more than one verse to prove that." Okay. Matthew chapter 24, verse 15. "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place," then get out of Dodge. All right, there's two. Number five, he calls himself God. All right, verse 6. It says, "And now you know that which is restraining, so that he may be revealed in his own time." All right, wait a minute. I don't know. Why don't you tell me, please? Tell me who or what is restraining. Now, apparently, he did tell these people. They knew it. I just read it, didn't I? You know what is, I don't have the verse right in front of me. You know what is restraining. Do you not, that's right, verse 5. Do you not remember when I was with you, I told you these things? And you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains, notice in the New King James, it's a capital H, meaning the translators think that this is deity, that this is the Holy Spirit he's talking about. Only he who now restrains will continue until he is taken out of the way. So this mystery of lawlessness or iniquity is already at work. Only he, this is the Holy Spirit, who now restrains will continue until, meaning there's a time coming when all of the evil in the world and the evil of this mystery of lawlessness won't be restrained any longer. But the great restrainer of evil will be cut loose with no more great benevolent power of God to hold back the evil. Imagine how this world would look without a benevolent God restraining the power of evil today from destroying everything. Even you are the salt of the earth. I should say, especially you. The Holy Spirit uses you to restrain the evil in the world. Isn't that obvious? By not agreeing to all of the evil? I mean, this is what this world wants more than anything else, is to get rid of all of these Christians out here that are stopping everyone from having fun. Okay, verse 8. It says, and then the lawless one will be revealed. I've translated that unveiled. Then the lawless one will be unveiled, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now we looked at that in chapter 1, remember? The Lord returns in flaming fire, taking vengeance on all those that don't know God or on those that don't obey the gospel. So we see this man's evil ministry, and we see how he's going to die. The Lord's going to tell him to drop dead. But even death's not going to kill you. This guy, he's going to end up in the lake of fire. Now let's look at who's behind the scenes with this man of sin and who's pulling the strings. And let's look at the damage that he does now. Verse 9. Reveals everything. It all makes sense now when you read this verse 9. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan. Now we say, aha, here's the culprit. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all powers, signs, and lying wonders. Now these signs are performed together by both Antichrist and the false prophet. Powers. That is, he's got the power to give life. Signs. He or they call fire down out of heaven. And lying wonders, like a magician. Like the old saying, the hand is quicker than the eye. Like a magician that makes an elephant vanish under a sheet. I think of that David Copperfield. You ever see the crazy stuff that guy does? All an illusion, though. The coming of the lawless one, this man of sin, is according to the working of Satan. This is his work, with powers, signs, and lying wonders. Do you see why I run the other way every time I hear of evangelists and miracle healers coming to town and promising the power of God with signs and a few wonders? I run the other way anytime I hear this kind of stuff. All of the signs and wonders in the Bible, listen to me here. All of the signs and wonders in the Bible are done so that you would believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the purpose of signs in the Bible. In the Old Testament, listen to this one here. This was the last one who called fire down out of heaven, Elijah. 1 Kings 18, verse 35. It says, it came to pass at the time of the offering that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of God fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. Verse 39, when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. That is the purpose for signs and wonders in the Bible. Signs and wonders aren't for your amusement. They're so you would believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and that there's one true God. That's the reason for it. Now, here today, all the signs and wonders you need are right here in this book. Here's your sign. All roads, all signposts lead to the cross of Jesus Christ. You want a sign? Follow that sign. It says the cross this way. That's the only sign that you need. Here's your wonders. For God demonstrates his own love towards me in that while I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. Now that's a wonder. Here's your wonder. God says, Jacob, I have loved. That's a wonder. How could God love that scoundrel, Jacob? How can God love you? The wonder of it all is that Almighty God loves me, Paul Esposito, and that he loves you. That's the wonder. So there's a sign, and there are some wonders for you. That's what we have. All the other stuff is for unbelievers. Signs and wonders are for unbelievers to point them to the cross. Next time you see them, this is what's going to happen. Verse 9, again, 9 and 10. The coming of the lawless ones according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception. There's the deceiving part of it now. Not only power, signs, and lying wonders, but let's throw in a little deception too. With all unrighteous deception among those who perish. Now, I'm in the New King James. Notice what the next word is. Verse 10. With all unrighteous deception among those who perish. What's the next word? Because they did not receive the love. See that? Receive the love. Receive the love of the truth so that they might be saved. And the truth is what? It's a person, right? But John 14, 6. I am the way and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. With all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive love of the truth so that they might be saved. And the penalty for refusing love, verse 11. You see, this comes at a cost, you see. The penalty for refusing love. Notice I didn't say the penalty for your sin. Someone's already paid the penalty for your sin. His name is Jesus. He died in your place on the cross. Your sins have already been atoned for. There is no penalty on you for his sins any longer. Someone or else, that's Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Someone's already paid the price for your sins. This is for refusing love. The penalty for refusing love, verse 11. For this reason, that is refusing love. For this reason, God will send them a strong delusion. Greek there means a working of error. God will send them a strong delusion. Notice why. So that they should believe the lie. And that they all might be condemned. King James says damned. So that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure or who delighted in unrighteousness. Now you've heard me say it many times in here. The lie is what? Three words. Write this down if you want. This is what the lie is. Antichrist is God. That's it. You're not going to believe that because of your sin. You're going to believe that because you refuse love.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Troubles seem so tall. All my faith just feels so small. But I will sing through rise and fall. My hope is in the Lord. You chase away my fears with peace. You calm the storm inside of me. Amazing love. Can it be? My hope is in the Lord. Oh, my hope is in the Lord. Like a river flowing, let me break it open. Rushing wild, it's always free and strong. Let my heart remember, I am yours forever. There's no end to the song. True.